Here.
What do you expect if I'm putting it in my fascia? First of all, this is from the book of Proverbs, so it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is what God wants of women. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Proverbs, of course, follows the book of Psalms, in case you didn't know. So hopefully you can find Psalms. Proverbs is a compendium of human wisdom imbued with faith in the Lord. At its core, it's a selection of wise sayings meant for the education of young men at the court of Jerusalem, so that they knew how to pick a good wife and how to avoid a bad one. But then later it becomes the wisdom books that all Jews would read in order to discover what they should be doing in general.
No.
Many of the Proverbs arose from where, would you guess?
Solomon.
No, he's the one that would collect them and put them together. But where they arise? Yes, Sienna, family life. Very good. You learn wise things by virtue of observing family life. So many Proverbs arose in the context of family life. The family being where children receive their earliest training. What's the overall message of the book of Proverbs? The wise man does not create or invent his counsels. They are things he discovers as rules of behavior and instructions that the Lord God left imprinted when he created the world and when he created man. Message of the book of Proverbs. One needs a well-grounded faith in God, a God, the God who has made all things, the God who is provident, the God who repays man according to his deeds. Message of Proverbs, God is the Lord of all things. Message of Proverbs, true wisdom can be found only by people who fear the Lord, people who learn from the things and events around them. That means not narcissists, because a narcissist says reality is all about me. Learn from the things around them and who have due reverence for their Maker. Message of Proverbs, wisdom is present in the right order of things, laid down by God. Wisdom enables you to orient your life in accordance with the established order of God. Hear this. Let him who has ears, he ought to hear. A person can only be happy when he fits into the right order of things as established by God. Otherwise, he will never find beatitude. He'll never find happiness. Message of Proverbs, wisdom enables you to find happiness in the midst of ordinary, everyday life. Not super, abundant, heroic, idealized fantasy situations. Everyday life. The wise man lives every moment, aware that every moment is a gift from God, and he lives to please God in every moment. A fool is always thinking about a future that will never come, planning for a future that will never be. Tomorrow I'll do this, tomorrow I'll do that. Tomorrow never comes. We can only live in the present moment. A wise man knows. He's okay. A wise man, he never fell. He caught himself. His instincts are good. Remember, boys will get into danger.
Well, I didn't want to see him.
Reflex.
No, he handled himself well. He could have, but he didn't. A wise man stays present to the present moment. So, what is the poem of the perfect wife in Proverbs 31, given all of this?
What is it?
Yes. Why would they
Christ
put
the perfect woman?
Yeah, why would he put the description of the perfect wife in a book filled with wisdom?
So that men could find the wife.
But remember, by this time women are reading this too.
So that women could model after it.
Remember what I said about the only way you'll find happiness is if you fit into the right order of things according to the mind and plan of God?
Right, so this is the right order.
It's defining how a woman will find happiness if she lives wisely according to the mind of God. The poem of the perfect wife is what we call acrostic. Acrostic. What does that mean? It means it's divided up in verses according to the Hebrew alphabet. So it's like the equivalent of each verse would be A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And that communicates a succession and a proper order of doing things and how things will occur. The qualities of a perfect wife, it's in the context of a rural family in ancient Israel. The use of this alphabet denotes that one must begin with a serious moral life. That's Aleph in Hebrew. And if you begin with a good moral life, you wish to penetrate the greater mysteries of Scripture, so says St. Jerome. So therefore, if you're following through and you realize that Scripture is filled with wisdom, then you know you can find out your actual vocation and how to live that vocation, not by inventing it yourself, but by actually reading sacred Scripture. It tells you how to do it. The poem reveals the moral strength of women. If she is wise, then she knows what to do in every situation. If she's wise. If not, she's getting all haughty or arrogant or angry or panicky and doesn't realize how lucky she is. So, hear these words of the poem of the perfect wife, especially you husbands. Listen. Because this is what your wife is supposed to be. Let me know if she's not. We'll talk about it. A man has found, this is Aleph, a man has found a vigorous wife. He has found a rare treasure brought from distant shores. What does that communicate? Obviously, all the husbands thought that about you before they married you. They're excited about it. So what does it mean when it says, a rare treasure brought from distant shores? It implies that a virtuous and vigorous wife is rare. Uncommon. That's why it's something that comes from far off lands. Not something you can find at the local market. We don't need the drums over here. Beth, bound to her in loving confidence, he will have no need of spoil. What's spoil?
What's spoil?
Spoil.
Is that like treasure? Like the spoil?
Exactly. Spoils are worth. Flawless, Gabriel. Your initiation is beginning. You're going to leave Matthew behind in his boyhood. Like the spoils of war, he won't seek any other treasure if he's bound to this vigorous wife. He won't seek any other woman. He won't seek any other thing in that respect because his confidence in her is a loving confidence. Gimel, content, not sorrow, she will bring him as long as life lasts. She will always bring him contentment, never sorrow. Boomer women. Think about it. He's content and never sorrowful because she's constantly working to bring him contentment. She cares more about him than she does about herself. She's not worried about what she's feeling, what she's thinking, what she's wondering. She's more concerned about him. And of course, marriage calls both husband and wife to die to themselves. That's the beauty of it. Content, not sorrow, she brings him as long as life lasts. Daleth. Does she not busy herself with wool and thread, plying her hands with ready skill? In other words, she's industrious in some way, shape, or form by what she does. Hey, ever she steers her course like some merchant ship bringing provisions from far away. Isn't that lovely? Because if anyone, you know, has a proper vision of things, those kinds of merchant ships were quite impressive and quite lovely. And to see them on the sea coming in would be a beautiful sight. So the perfect wife is always that way. She steers her course with that regality, with that ease, with that comfort and confidence. And she bringing provisions from far. In other words, she's always bringing joy to her husband, to her children because of that. And does it with elegance and with confidence. And just so you know, that the sacrament's imbued with grace, so it's quite possible to be this woman. Vow. From early dawn, she is up, assigning food to the household, so that each waiting woman had her share. From early dawn, she is up. Seems to be implying that she's up before her husband. And she's already doing the household tasks, assigning the food to, in this case, the maidservants and other people who would be working. In other words, she is properly in control of her household. She is in control of the household. In other words, she runs it in a way that is ordered and appropriate, just by virtue of what Scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit is saying. She assigns food to the household. Everything is taken care of. She runs an orderly home. Zion. Ground must be examined and bought and planted out as a vineyard with the earnings of her toil. This is reality again of the provisioning in the agrarian reality. If the man is working in the fields, then she's doing her own side work to make money to help support that effort. But it's all about what he's doing, not about what she's doing. And so therefore she is provisional where appropriate, materially or otherwise. Heth, how briskly she girds herself to task. How tireless are her arms. I want to get married right now. This is what Catholic wives are like, right? How briskly she girds herself to task. She's upright and just gone to work. It's a lovely image. How tireless are her arms. Tireless, Santa Rose. Teth, industry, she knows it. She knows it's well rewarded. And all night long her lamp does not go out. What a great woman. She's up early. And you know what the beauty of this is? It's inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Next time Dad tells me to go to bed, I'm going to be like, no.
Because of industry. All night long, you'll say, my lamp does not go out. Calf, kindly is her welcome to the poor, her purse ever open to those in need. In other words, she is not selfish. She is not self-centered. It is not about her. It's a beautiful thought. Jealously, she sets her hands to work. Her fingers clutch the spindle. Still industrious. Lamed, let the snow lie cold, if it will. She has no fears for her household. No servant of hers, but is warmly clad. She has confidence in the reality of her home and home life. She has confidence in her husband. She has confidence in God. And therefore, her faith is never shaken because of that willful confidence, not succumbing to emotionalism. Mem, made by her own hands, was the coverlet on her bed, the clothes of lawn and purple that she wears. Nun, none so honored at the city gate as that husband of hers. when he sits in council with the elders of the land, because they know just how wonderful his wife is. He is a man honored. Bad wives dishonor men. Good wives honor men. Samech. Often she will sell linen of her own weaving or make a girdle for the traveling merchant to buy. In other words, she's always contributing to family and family life, not by virtue of what is necessary, but going out of the way for that reality. Ayin. Protected by her own industry and good repute, she greets the morrow with a smile, even though she never goes to bed. Fay, ripe wisdom governs her speech, but it is kindly instruction she gives. Kindly instruction. She might be mad interiorly. She might be mad at the kids interiorly, but she only gives them kindly instruction when she disciplines them. She doesn't let her emotions get a hold of her. She pulls it all back in because kindliness, which of course is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Sade, she keeps watch over all that goes on in her house, not content to go through life eating and sleeping. Because you didn't like the idea that she doesn't sleep. The perfect wife is not content to go through life just eating and sleeping. She keeps watch over all that goes on in her house. She's not going to let it become a chaotic situation that the father has to fix when he gets home. She loves him enough to keep it in order. And again, selfless, selfless, selfless. You two want to share with the rest of the class what you're talking about? Could what you be talking about be more important than what I'm saying? Even though it's sacred scripture? Are you arguing with me? Do you want me to tell Ralph?
I'm watching her, Father.
Kof. That is why her children are the first to call her blessed. Because she was always kind to the children. They'll call her blessed. Even when she disciplined them, she did it with kindness. Because she knows that discipline is never merely about punishment, it's about instruction. Her husband is loud, loud in her praise. Race. Unrivaled are you among all women that have enriched their homes. Sin. Vain are the winning ways. Beauty is a snare. It is a woman who fears the Lord that will achieve renown. All of this perfection is only possible if a woman fears God. In other words, lives to please and honor God first. Work such as her claims its reward. Let her life be spoken of with praise at the city gates. Isn't that lovely? Is that your wife? Is that your wife? Is that your wife?
She's still talking?
No, I'm talking about this description. Do you have the perfect wife? Is that your wife?
Yes, Father.
Oh, beautiful, Derek. Good job, Katie. Bottom line, as you were talking last night, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, each is said to be perfect insofar as it attains its own end, which is the highest perfection of anything. So what does St. Paul say? Women have no authority to teach men. Why? Because the first time they did was in the Garden of Eden and they led man to destruction. Second, a woman is saved through childbirth. Why? Well, the pain, the labor pains are a consequence of original sin, but wasn't reproduction part of the reality? So it's twofold, right? What is the ultimate end of a woman? What is her perfection?
To have children.
Because it'll lead her and her children to heaven. That's what God made her for. It'd be different for the consecrated religious who have a whole different vocation. This is what constitutes perfection, reaching the end you're designed for. All our actions must be referred to God, to know, love, and serve Him, and glorify Him. This is the end of life. This is the source of all perfection. Again, St. Thomas, essentially the perfection of the Christian life consists in charity first and foremost, in the love of God, then the love of neighbor. So therefore, the perfect wife loves God so much that she lives life to that end with regards to her being a wife and a mother. It is never about her. It is always about the husband and the children. And if she cooperates with grace, this is possible. She will be what Rita described, never going to sleep. Not really. Because we're speaking in terms of idealization. Obviously, she can't be not sleeping and doing everything she's doing. Although it is possible if God chooses to give this special grace. But in this life, the love of God cannot be practiced without renouncing pride, self-love, without fighting against concupiscence. Therefore, the only way is through self-sacrifice, and that's what married life is all about. The essence of love is devotedness. It's a firm determination of the will to give itself up to God, and if need be, to make the entire sacrifice of self to Him and His glory, preferring God's good pleasure to my own or to other people's pleasure. God first, God first, God first. St. Augustine, there are no labors too great for loving hearts. In fact, one finds pleasure therein, as we observe in the case of the fisherman fishing, the hunter at the chase, the merchant at the mart. For where there is love, there is no labor. Or if there be labor, it is a labor of love. That comes from De Bono Viduatis of St. Augustine. Questions? So your lives, gentlemen, are changed from here on out, because they're going to be perfect wives. They're going to be just like Proverbs 31. It's flawless. You're going to enjoy it. Since they have no questions, I guess they got it.
I got one. So, this is probably an ignorance that I say this. So, I'm going to back here. Yes.